Hello, you're listening to The Northern Agenda, the podcast that steps outside the Westminster bubble to bring you politics news for the North and crucially from the North. I'm Rob Parsons, a journalist who keeps an eye on the ups and downs of politics across Northern England, so you don't have to, and I condense it all into a daily email newsletter and weekly podcast. This week, I'm coming to you from the headquarters of the North East's Chronicle and Journal newspapers in the centre of Newcastle for a special mayoral hustings edition. Because one of the five people, four men and one woman, sitting alongside me this afternoon will, in less than a month's time, almost certainly become the North East's first elected Metro Mayor. They'll have powers and funding, some £4.2 billion over 30 years, to impact the lives of millions of people in a huge patch stretching from Berwick to Barnard Castle. It's all thanks to a devolution deal between local leaders and government signed a few months ago after years of wrangling. I take you through the checkered history of devolution in the North East, but frankly, we've only got an hour, so I'm not sure there's time. And even though the agreement won't come into force until the new mayor is elected on May the 2nd, it's already been strengthened thanks to a so-called trailblazer deal, giving the North East comparable status to Greater Manchester and the West Midlands. So the stakes will be high when voters across Durham, Gateshead, Newcastle, North Tyneside, Northumberland, South Tyneside and Sunderland pick their preferred candidate, meaning there is all the more reason to know who they are and what they'll do if they do get into power. Joining me today are five of the six candidates bidding for the job, and I'll list them in alphabetical order by surname. We have Jamie Driscoll, the independent candidate who is currently Mayor of the North of Tyne, University archivist Andrew Gray, standing for the Green Party, and Dr. Aidan King, who works at Newcastle's Royal Victoria Infirmary for the Liberal Democrats. Labour's candidate is Northumbria Police and Crime Commissioner, Kim McGuinness, and for the Conservatives, we have Northumberland County Councillor, Guy Venner-Thompson. Sunderland Councillor, Paul Donaghy, who is Reform UK's candidate, couldn't be here today, so he is sending in a recorded message. Over the next 55 minutes or so, we'll be hearing from them all about how they'd approach the job and their position on the big issues that will likely matter to voters. Chronicle and Journal readers have been sending in their questions, and I will do my best to mention as many as I can. Just to set out the ground rules, we're going to give each of the candidates 2 minutes for their opening statements, and then we'll get into the questions. They'll have a minute each to answer. At the end, we'll have a few minutes for each of the candidates to challenge or respond to what they've heard from the others, or simply wrap up with a closing statement. So I'd ask that we save any butting in or interruptions until then. So without further ado, let's get into it. We'll go in reverse alphabetical order with the opening statements. So first up here is Conservative Guy Venner-Thompson.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. So as you said, I'm a county councillor in Northumberland. I have been since 2017. I'm also the portfolio holder for Children's Services, which puts me responsible for education and children's social care in the county. My plan for the mayor is multifaceted. We'll start with transport. Transport is one of the biggest powers and funding parts that the mayor has. We need to have increased bus services. We need to expand the metro. We need better rail services and improved East Coast Main Line, a brand new Leanside line. There's any number of things that we can possibly do. The mayoralty, however, doesn't come with all the money that we need to do all these projects. So part of the thing as mayor is to get out into the world, into the region, and bring that money here. Said I've got a background in education. The mayor has vast powers over post-18 education, comes with a bit of money. We need to be talking to industry and make sure that the skills courses that we put on are the ones that industry need. We need to get around the table with big businesses and the existing colleges and post-18 providers that we have and fill those gaps. But the ultimate thrust of my pitch for mayor is around jobs, 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 jobs. We've got to get better employment in the region, and we've got to get wages up in the region. We do that by talking with big industry in renewable energies, in offshore, in automotive, bring those people here to our industrial sites and our ports and harbours in the north. But also we need to focus on our smaller businesses as well, which is why I've proposed a programme of grant schemes and easier access to finance for those smaller businesses to grow. This is about making people richer. You know, we've got to get more money back into people's pockets, and we've got to make sure that money goes into the local people's pockets. So it's about creating those jobs of the future, bringing them here, having the education and transport policies in place so that local people can access those jobs.
Thank you very much, Guy. Now we turn to Kim McGuinness of Labour. Kim.
I'm standing to be North East Mayor because I love the region and I believe that we can be known as the home of real opportunity. Together we can create thousands of jobs, make sure everyone has a great home, fix our broken transport system, and finally end the days of London taking our decisions for us. Everyone in our region should have access to real opportunity. I'll invest in people at every level. So whether it's on the high street in creative industries or in offshore wind, everyone has access to a good job. If we get this right, we can transform how we think about job creation. And then we can finally take on the crippling challenge of child poverty that holds back too many in our Northeast. And that's what you'll get from me, a Northeast first approach. I'm not here to obsess about Westminster politics or to go on about party ideology. I'm sick of the same old politics where some bloke tells you what you need, talks more than they listen, and tells you that things are better when no one feels they are. I want to change the Northeast so that everyone has the chance to succeed. I love our Northeast, and I don't actually care if some people think that saying it is a bit cringe. A mayor should be the loudest advocate for us. I grew up on a council estate in a working-class household. My dad was a scaffolder, he worked on the shipyards, and my mum worked in various low-paid, insecure jobs. This region and a Labour government gave us what we needed to escape hardship and to succeed. I'm proud to be the working-class kid, standing to be the first North East mayor. When I grew up, you could see the damage the Tories were doing to our region, and I think for many of us, those dark days are back. And that's why I'll be the Labour mayor, working with the Labour government to rebuild the region, but this time we'll do it from within, with real devolution. I've already started to talk to Labour's front bench about how we can end the days of the North East going cap in hand to London for permission to ask. We need more powers handed back to the North East so we can set our own course. We face big challenges, not least the highest child poverty rate in the country, but we can grow this region by investing locally and building the infrastructure of opportunity.
Kim, thank you very much. Now we turn to Aidan King of the Liberal Democrats. Aidan.
So thanks very much for having me here. I run multiple small businesses throughout the North East, and I've been a director of a housing charity, £50 million by assets. The main problem that we have at the moment is with our economy. Our economy has not grown at all over the last 2 years, 0% GDP growth. Over this parliament, 2019 to whenever we have the general election, living standards will have declined. GDP per head will have declined. What we need to do is we need to drive investment into our Northeast. To do that, we need the money to do that. And the way that we can do that is not through the new money of the devolution deal. There's tens of millions of pounds there, but not enough to spark significant economic growth in our region. To get economic growth in our region, we need to get people from outside our region investing into it. And to do that, I'm going to build Europe's largest onshore wind farm. I'm going to declare a mayoralty development area from Newton Aycliffe in the south to Barnard Castle inland up to the Northumberland National Park. This hilled area is one of the best wind assets in the entirety of Northern Europe. We can develop our own ability to build onshore wind there with the industries and jobs that will go towards that. We'll attract multiple different types of investment from central government, from private industry with pension funds and insurance companies, and joint ventures with local businesses. That asset can then be leveraged to develop other infrastructure throughout our region. The first thing that we should do is the Leam sideline. We could then build multiple new communities and new industries down the Leam sideline.
Thank you very much, Aidan. Now let's turn to Andrew Gray of the Green Party. Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting this event today. Just a tiny bit on myself. I was born here in Newcastle and now live here. I was brought up in Northumberland, where my parents still live and work in Tankadoham in Durham City. And that's taught me a lot about the area. I work mainly with historic records relating to the Northeast. And it teaches me a lot about what brings the area together, why we are a Northeast region, but also how different we are, how diverse we are, the huge, rich cultures and histories and traditions, and indeed wildlife and people of the region. So that informs my general approach as mayor, and I think I want to say something about that and then something about what the top priority is, because we'll all promise lots of things. Some of it will be the same around issues like transport and education and skills. But I think if you're going to understand who's the right person for the job, you're going to have to understand what their approach is and what their top priority is. So as a mayor, I don't believe in top-down, a strong mayoral government, which is focused very heavily on big schemes, perhaps creating large numbers of jobs, but very much schemes where the vast majority of people don't feel the benefits. They don't notice the change in their communities. I think if we're going to be a successful region with our new devolution deal, we're going to have to build far stronger, much more resilient communities across the Northeast. That's how we'll stand up for the austerity that's down the line. It's how we'll stand up to the impacts of climate change in rural and urban areas alike. So resilient communities and devolving power to ensure that we invest in those resilient communities is kind of at the heart of what I stand for. The one priority policy that reflects that is my policy to retrofit housing, the mass home insulation scheme. If we're going to have resilient communities, we need people to feel safe, secure in their communities, facing a cost of living increase, which we've seen around energy prices. So a big mass home insulation scheme to restore people's ability to stay in their areas.
Thank you, Andrew. And last but not least, we have Jamie Driscoll. Jamie, take it away.
Thanks, Rob. The North East's missed out on investment for decades. When I became mayor in 2019, the north of Tyne had a fraction of the powers and money that other regions had. We've leapfrogged most of them with this new deal. It's the best funded deal in the country. We should not put it at risk. What we're electing here is the CEO of a region, not an MP. The North East would be better off with someone politically independent with a track record of working cross-party to just get things done. What people say in an election isn't particularly reliable, but the track record is. Guy's got a track record in Northumberland. Kim's got a track record as Police and Crime Commissioner, and I'm standing on my track record as Mayor. I've created 5,377 full-time permanent jobs. That's 320% of target. I've increased training courses from 22,000 to 35,000 a year, a 60% increase on the same budget. Over 2,000 homes on brownfield land, including council and rent-to-buy homes. Working in 260 schools with child poverty prevention and a whole school approach to mental health. We've opened youth centres and funded community hubs. And despite the pandemic and the chaos, I haven't put a penny on the council tax and I've borrowed no money. And I've claimed £0 in expenses. I left school when I was 16, worked in a plumbing factory, worked hard, went to university as a mature student and got an engineering degree. I've run my own business. I've been a company director and I'm a black belt at jiu-jitsu. I live in Newcastle with my wife. She's a GP in Gateshead, now two teenage sons. So I know how expensive food's got in recent years. All the candidates love our region. They wouldn't be standing otherwise. But good intentions don't fix anything. We can't have a mayor who spends the first year running consultations or will fall behind. We need someone to land investment, create jobs and fix our transport system from day one.
Thank you, Jamie. Now, as I said, Paul Donaghy, the Reform UK candidate, couldn't join us today, but he has sent in this recorded message.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Paul Donaghy. I am your Reform UK candidate for the North East Regional Mayor. Can I apologise for not being there in person? I had an issue today that required my attention in my day job, so unfortunately I couldn't make it. So I am standing to be your North East Regional Mayor because I believe the people want an alternative. They want somebody to vote for who won't take the vote for granted. They want an alternative to the failed two-party system, and I believe that alternative is me. I believe in prioritising the needs and concerns of the community above everything else, with a strong focus on people before politics. I'm dedicated to creating positive change and serving the people of the North East and the wider United Kingdom. Now, I am not your typical career politician, and I believe that is what people want in the North East. They want somebody who will stand up and put the people before politics, because the people are sick and tired of the same old politicians selling the same old lies, making the same old promises and the same old scare tactics. It doesn't work anymore. It's the people of this region who make it is what it is. It's not any government, it's not any council, and it certainly won't be any mayor. It's the people who make this area so fantastic, and it's the people who make me want to stand to be the mayor of this region. Now, I will work alongside local authorities, businesses, community organisations to shape policies, attract investment and improve the quality of life for residents and for future generations. I'll prioritise the building of affordable homes with a new wave of social housing. I want to invest in our region's youth services to give our youth the best chance in life, which will also tackle the growing ASB issue that we see across the area. I want to regenerate our rundown high streets with support for small businesses. I want to ensure that any future developments or projects that are carried out in the Northeast are firstly offered to Northeast-based companies, which will keep jobs in our region. Furthermore, I will not be held to ransom by any political agenda or by any political party, and especially not by the unions, unlike the two Labour candidates will be. I will always work in the best interests of the region, and I will always work for you. Thank you.
Let's now get into some of the specifics. I think any debate about politics in the North invariably comes back to transport, and we've had a few questions about that subject. The Space for Gosforth campaign group has asked what commitments the candidates will make for walking and cycling. While at the other end of the spectrum, David Owens has asked if you'll make what he describes as the bold move to make the Tyne Tunnel free to use. There are big issues like the reopening of the Leamside railway line, extending the Tyne and Wear Metro, the long-awaited dualling of the A1 in Northumberland, and whether to bring buses under public control as other northern mayors have done. So what I would like to know from all of you is, what is the one thing you would want to do on transport that would have the biggest impact? And we will start with Kim McGuinness this time.
Well, we urgently need to bring our buses back under public control. I think all of those things that you've talked about there are really important, really necessary. We need a much more joined up active travel network. We absolutely need the Leamside line. It is of national importance. We need to extend the metro, and we need to consider the future of the Tyne Tunnel. But the buses are the way that most people in our region travel. And so we need to get back their control back of them so we can give people more of a say over where our buses go, more of a say over the route, make them more affordable, more reliable, safer, and have them go where we need them to go, not just where's for profit. And so I've said that I'll do that starting day one, and then integrate that into a wider angel network of integrated public transport with one single ticket so that people can travel freely across our region using public transport that way.
Kim, thank you. Aidan King, what's your answer to this question?
So for years, we've had problems with infrastructure spending in the Northeast. The density of our population doesn't really stack up to the density in the South and London. And that's how the Treasury measures investment and allocates investment. My plan will allow us the economic and political power to choose which projects we will do and deliver those projects ourselves on our own terms. The project that I would deliver first is the Leamside line. We can have hundreds of thousands of new homes in new communities with new industrial estates, delivering economic growth for our region that has been sorely lacking for many years.
Aidan, thank you. And now Andrew Gray.
Well, the most important thing we can do for transport is to invest in our communities so that people have to travel a bit less. That's why I'm a strong believer in 15-minute cities and 15-minute neighbourhoods, so that we have services locally so that people can access their informal networks of care, they can access businesses, shops and services locally. And then on top of that, the biggest thing we can start from day one is integration of fares on the buses, so that the buses can work seamlessly with the metro and the light rail and the local rail within the region with a single integrated fare system.
Andrew, thank you. Jamie Driscoll.
Thanks, Rob. We need to start thinking about people rather than vehicles. And it's about that personal experience of how you get right across the region. So that means integrating the buses and the ferry and the metro and the rail. So you've got a single public transport account that gets you right across. And then you can start to put discounts on for people. And once you've brought it back under public control, which almost everybody wants to do, that's when you can really start to do good things. Like, I'm going to make public transport free for everybody 18 and under and people in full-time education, because this is holding back people's life chances. Thing is, once you've got it all under public control, it costs the same to run a bus, whether there's anybody on it or not. So rather than running buses full of empty seats, let's have young people taking advantage of this. So, you know what, even if you're a grandparent, you can take your kids out for the day for free.
Jamie, thank you very much. Guy Bennett-Johnson.
So the vast majority of travelling is still done by car. I think we need to have a transport strategy which recognises that and does put investment into some key infrastructure projects, like the Moor Farm roundabout there, where cars are backed up for days on end. In terms of a rather quick and easy thing to do, we could do relatively painlessly. I want to see the East Coast Main Line have a better service on. It's the arterial route that runs up and down the region. For too long, the priority has been those fast trains between Edinburgh, Newcastle and London. I think we need to take a step back, prioritise an hourly or half an hourly stopping service between the communities. And that doesn't mean we have to sacrifice this intercity connectivity. It means we just have to invest more in things like passing loops and using existing freight lines, which currently don't hold passenger traffic.
Guy, thank you. To move on to the next question, a question we've been asked a lot is how the mayor will make decisions that benefit all of the North East, not just a part of it. Rob Marriott asks, the new role will cover a huge expanse of rural and semi-rural Northumberland and Durham, but almost everything I hear from the candidates is focused on urban Tyne and Wear. Someone called Big Bry 1965 says, what guarantees will all the candidates give that the money provided will not just end up in Newcastle, and will be spread fairly across the new authority area? And Gordon Castle asks, how would candidates ensure that there is a proper balance of investment between predominantly rural parts of NEMCA, so that's the North East Mobile Combined Authority, and urban areas? Now, I can't help but notice that in this field of candidates, we have three ex-Newcastle councillors, and I think another two people from Newcastle. So what can you do to reassure people listening to this that you will be looking out for those outside the main urban conurbation? What policies can you offer? So let's start with Aidan King.
So one policy that illustrates what I would be doing is my rural housing policy. I would allow each parish council to declare a mayoralty development area. This allows the parish council to take control of planning and compulsory purchase in that area. They could then use the land value uplift from buying low quality pasture land and turning it into residential land to fund local services and find housing for local people. I would want to push democracy down to the place where democracy is closest to the people in our community.
Aidan, thank you. Andrew Gray?
Well, this deal has to work for the whole of the North East if it's going to work at all. I live in Newcastle and I can tell you that this capital status in Newcastle acquired is actually quite bad for the city and means our local neighbourhoods get underfunded. So we do not benefit from having an overheated urban core and a big wall into land. So we have to make the deal work. That's why I'm very focused on investing directly into communities right across the region, housing right across the region, local services, local businesses right across the region. Because if we don't have every part of the region working, then it's simply not going to be able to deliver.
Andrew, thank you. Jamie Driscoll.
Thanks, Ron. You don't have to take my word for it, actually, because as North of Tyne, we've invested heavily in Berwick, which is as far away as you can get from Newcastle and still be in this region. And they've got the culture and creative zone. It's making a big difference. It's creating jobs there. It's helping local businesses. And it's actually really good for the people there to have something to go and do as well. You know, that extra vibrancy in the place you live. And that's the approach I'm going to take. So wherever you live, whether it's Ferry Hill or Peter Lee, I'm going to let you decide in your community what projects you want backing. And if you can show that local people back something, I'll fund it up to £40,000, whatever it is, whether that's an existing community group, whether it's something new. And there won't just be a limit of one per town. It'll be able to keep approaching these. And a lot of stuff will be about youth culture so that young people, wherever they're from, that can do music festivals and do spoken word and tell the story and build a bit of pride in their hometown.
Jamie, thank you. Guy?
Well, I think the obvious way to make sure that rural areas are remembered at the devolution deal is to elect a mayor who's already been representing a rural area since 2017. Let's not kid ourselves. The bulk of this money is going to be spent in Tyne and Wear. You know, that's where the industry is. I want to see massive, huge investment in places like Blyth, Port Sunderland, etc. But we need to make sure that that money is spread across the whole region. You know, we do that by having grant schemes that are open to rural and urban businesses. We do that by making sure that the skills training isn't all just focused on the colleges in town, that we spread the love across the region. What we want is an outcome where people who live in Alnwick and Peterlee and Barnecastle don't have to leave their towns. We need to turbocharge the economy in those towns with grants to small businesses, with help and advice to those businesses, so that those people can stay where they're born.
Guy, thank you. And Kim?
Yeah, I mean, I live in a rural area now, and I feel it every day. You know, at the moment, you can get a bus from where I live into town, but it doesn't stop at a train station. And so, you know, there's no incentive for me to do that because it takes me three times as long as it would to drive. And so we need to sort that out first and foremost. But we also need to balance the investment across the region. And this is a mayor that heads up a cabinet of local authority leaders. So together we need a plan, a spatial plan across our region, so that we channel investment into our villages and towns as well as our cities, so that people can actually feel the difference rather than just being told that there's a difference. And one of the things that I want to see is a High Streets Commission that looks at what our high streets in those villages and towns really need, rather than kind of biddable cash that we're getting from government at the moment to simply just replace the shutters. So that might be startup space or community space or support for local businesses. But it really is about listening to the communities there and finding out what it is that people really need, and then delivering into those communities right across our region.
Thank you, Kim. Now, moving on to a different subject, the North East has got some amazing cultural assets like the Baltic and Gateshead. It's world-renowned football teams and now a huge Hollywood of the North film studio coming in Sunderland, which could create thousands of jobs. I was reading the new Trailblazer deal and see that culture plays a big part in it, perhaps a bigger part than in any other devolution deal around the country. So I'd really love to know how, as mayor, you would plan to harness culture in the Northeast to create jobs and prosperity. And we'll start with Andrew Gray.
So culture is a really big part of the North East. It's a huge part for Clun County Durham. I have a lot of experience of different groups working with the council and working on cultural projects. The key for me is that culture has to be community-based and participative. So it's not about big grand schemes where you invest. There's obviously, you take the money if it's there for things like cultural creative zones. But the idea that all your cultural funding is invested in central zones and then somehow trickles out from there is, I don't think, the way that we're going to actually engage people. What we want is those artist groups who are spread right across our region, and there's cultural groups and local history groups really owning the process, learning how to inspire their neighbours and people around them, whether it's creating cultural goods or whether it's learning about their place. But a sort of really strong place-based, diverse cultural offer is what we'll be aiming for.
Jamie Driscoll.
Culture covers so many things, doesn't it? Is it your local book group? Is it the Scouts? Is it something going on in your church hall? And it's the grassroots culture that develops the talent pipeline for these industries. So there's what you do with the skills, which we're already doing. That's written in the plan. Everybody's going to do that. The differentiator is how you get something that translates from spending money to generating money as well. And that's about turning this into an industry and including the social value that comes out of it. Just the value of people having something to do in their area makes a huge difference. That's why we funded the Newcastle Youth Centre that's there. So outreach is 16,000 kids getting benefit from that. And so this is going to be about developing the film industry and the writing that comes with it and the local actors, but in a way where people get to enjoy it and make part of their everyday life. I'm going to back that with the funding.
Jamie, thank you. Guy.
So I don't think we can underestimate the impact that the Crownwork Studio in Sunderland will have. Obviously, this has been so many people involved with bringing that. But I imagine if the Chancellor hadn't approved the money, the headline would have been Conservatives don't care about the North. The Chancellor approves the money and we get very full credit for it at all. So we've got large events like that. Me personally, I think a lot of the ground culture comes from the ground up with small groups in church halls, in schools. It's about making the funding available. So it's not just business grants I want. I want a community chess grant where community groups and art groups are able to apply for that money. But we have the greatest culture in the United Kingdom in the Northeast, from Holy Island to Durham Cathedral to the Miners Gala. All of this stuff is there to be celebrated. It brings people to the region, and when they come here, they spend money.
Guy, thank you. Kim McGuinness.
Look, I think that we're the proudest people in the country. I really do. And I think that's a very unique selling point for the Northeast. And putting our culturally and creative assets at the centre of our economic plans as part of our industrial strategy, rather than treating it as an add-on that people who can afford can do on a Friday night, I think is incredibly important. And that will create jobs. And it won't just create jobs like directors and writers. It'll create foundational jobs, things like the electricians and the set designers and the hairdressers and the makeup artists. And that's what this is all about. Because at the moment, if people want to do those jobs, quite often they have to leave the region to do it. And so we need to invest in those skills in our region and then create the pipeline into the right jobs. But really crucially, every child should have access to culture. And so I want to see a new era of Sure Start centres giving young people access to culture and creative skills right in their communities, back in those local groups. And finally, I think major events are really important. If you can see it, you can be it. America has South by Southwest. There is no reason why we shouldn't have North by Northeast.
Kim, thank you. And Aidan.
Thanks very much, Rob. So for me, I agree with Guy. It's about investment, so getting cultural investment into our communities. Every time you build an onshore wind farm, there's a community trust set up, and that allows huge amounts of investment into the areas that host one of these wind farms. In one of the wind farm areas in the Northeast, we've seen huge amounts of investment so that church halls and parish churches have been repaired and revitalized to the point where they're now funding grants for young people to go to university. We can have that devolved funding if we find the investment. We can find the investment by building Europe's largest onshore wind farm.
I'm going to move on to a different topic now, which is child poverty. It's a big issue in the Northeast, which has some of the highest rates of child poverty in the country. And concerningly, that those rates are not going down in recent months. If anything, they're going the opposite direction. We've got another question here from Sally Young, a Newcastle resident, who says, given the appalling rates of child poverty in the Northeast of England, how would you use your role to address this? Would you see childcare being a key plank of this proposal, and how could you roll this out? So let's start on that one with Jamie.
Thanks, Rob. The cost of living crisis is massively affecting people. It really is. The answer to this has to be jobs and wages, because there are no children in poverty who have affluent parents, and getting those jobs makes the biggest difference. But I remember talking to a government minister, actually, and he was saying, look, in the future, it's all about investment and that will guarantee our economic success. So that's great. But the kids getting those jobs in 20 years' time won't be the kids in school today who are too hungry to eat. So that's why we've rolled out the Child Poverty Prevention Programme that works directly in schools. So all kids affected by poverty will benefit from this. Make sure the funding's there. It's already running in the north of Tyne. From September, it'll start to run right across the south of Tyne, regardless of the election result. That's already in place. And then making transport free for everybody 18 and under, well, that makes a big, big difference to struggling families.
Jamie, thank you. Guy?
Ultimately, it's about jobs. You know, you don't find a child in poverty in a household with good wages coming in. We have a problem with low wages in the Northeast economy. We don't have an employment problem, but there's lots of people in work poverty. So we need to get those wages up. You do that by bringing competition into the jobs market with some other high paid jobs raised separate. In the immediate term, I think we have a big problem with people not claiming the benefit they're entitled to in the Northeast. There's around £1 billion of unclaimed benefits floating around the system in the Northeast. One of the things you can do as mayor is work with and give money to groups like the Citizens Advice Bureau to go out into the community. And even if we had to spend £100,000, £500,000 on this issue, the return into the regional economy by people claiming that unspent benefit will be unfulfilled. So we really need to focus on that.
Guy, thank you. Kim?
Yeah, I think this is the biggest problem facing our region. And we need to measure the success of this combined authority by the number of children that we live out of poverty. And it can't just be about helping people to live better with poverty, we've got to alleviate it. And childcare is massively a part of that. At the moment, far too many people are locked out of the labour market or kept away from better jobs because they can't access childcare. So I want a regional childcare strategy which invests in the skills to create more people who, to create more jobs for people and people skilled to take on childcaring roles. And then we'll give elements of free childcare to people who are getting back into work or skills training, training people closer to where they live, so that it's more accessible around their home lives, so that they're able to improve their skills, so that we can reduce economic inactivity. Because what we know is that there's no real such thing as economic inactivity. What it is that people are at home doing those childcare roles and caring roles for free, when actually they should have the help to be able to go to work.
Thank you, Kim. Aidan.
Thanks, Rob. So I agree with Guy. It's about jobs, but not just jobs. It's about homes. So child poverty has gone up, and it's going up in our region. We need to stop that by getting people good jobs. We can do that by driving investment into our region, getting the good quality jobs to build Europe's largest onshore wind farm, and building hundreds of thousands of new homes, warm, dry homes that people can have a wonderful life living in, alleviating the poverty that they're suffering from.
Aidan, thank you. Andrew Gray.
So housing is hugely important for, as Aidan was just hinting there, for child poverty. It's people in secure housing, in terms of the families, it's much easier for them to access the same schooling, to start closing those real educational attainment gaps problem we have in the region here. It's hugely significant in terms of people being able to access employment and skills if they've got that stable, secure housing. And that's why I'm so focused on the mass home insulation program to retrofit our housing, to make it improve the quality significantly of the existing housing stock, so that people can access services better, they can less costs to access services, get the skills and the jobs more easily, and then travel when they need to. So yeah, it's kind of central to those stable, secure homes that will lift increasing numbers out of child poverty.
Andrew, thank you. Now, I think one thing that we probably need to acknowledge, talking about devolution in the Northeast, is that there is still some work to do in raising awareness, A, that this election is happening in the first place, and B, what the mayor will do when they start work. And in fact, we've had a question from David Ross, who asks, whose idea was it to create this situation and why? What will the proven bottom line bring for the people of the Northeast? So with that in mind, and the importance of making an impact in a good way in the new job, I want to know how you're going to approach the first 100 days as mayor, if elected. What will your priorities be in those first 100 days? And we'll start with Guy Mena-Thompson.
You've really got to hit the ground running, which is why it's so good that we've had all these hustings and all these events, and we've been able to talk to the public about what our plans are. The first 100 days is going to be about getting around the region, talking to communities about their wants. The Northeast is a huge region. It's 2 million people. I don't think any of us can claim to know the exact needs of every single one of those communities. We've got to get in with the local councils. We've got to get in with the large employers, the schools, the colleges, and just start that big conversation about what the needs and wants are of those individual communities. Because we all talk about these overarching policies for the whole region, but every little community, every city, every village, every town has their own wants and needs. So we need to get into those communities, talk to people, find out what they want.
Thank you, Guy. Kim?
Well, what's really crucial about this is it makes a difference to people's lives. And I think at the moment, devolution in the Northeast just simply hasn't made enough of a difference to enough people's lives. And that first 100 days are going to be really important. I said day one, we start the process of bringing our buses back under public control, because that is where we start, where we will start to be able to improve people's public transport and help people to get around the region. It won't surprise you to know that I've already got a spreadsheet ready, should I be lucky enough to win this, which has outlined all of the things that I've said I'll deliver. And I want that throughout the organisation as absolute gospel. This is how we're going to improve our region. We need to get out there, speak to people, go and attract investment into the region. And crucially, we need to start straight away negotiating the next phase of devolution. I think our leaders did a good job at getting the best possible deal out of the Conservative government, but we need more power into our region. I'm having the conversation with the Labour front bench already because we will have a general election later in the year. But whoever's in government, we need to be going after more powers to be able to improve people's lives in our region.
Kim, thank you. Aidan.
Thanks very much, Rob. So I agree with Kim. There's been absolutely no tangible change from having devolution in our area so far. My 100 first days will be taken up by going out to communities and explaining the onshore wind farm plan. I'm under no illusions that even though I will have gained a democratic mandate to build that wind farm, most of the communities who will be affected will probably not be aware of the size or the scale of what I'm proposing. And that will be, that consultation process will be first on my list.
Aidan, thank you. Andrew Gray.
Well, the benefits have to be felt on the ground. It's no good if we can point to random GDP figures that people don't notice. So it's going to have to be well-being indicators that prove whether we're successful. And those first 100 days, in terms of my plan around housing, it's going to be talking to the housing associations very early on, talking to the FP providers and the businesses, because one's going to have the workforce trained up and expanded hugely, and having that confidence that businesses need to invest in green skills and green jobs. Talking to the, as I say, the FP providers, talking to the councils and the housing associations to clarify where the gaps are in funding, where the social housing is, that would be the first stage at which you would really target investment in. And then, of course, talking to government and private sector in terms of leveraging other money. And the engagement with communities has to go on right through the process. It doesn't happen in 100 days and then stop. That's something that needs embedding in the Balliol Combined Authority if it's going to succeed.
Andrew, and now, thank you for that. And now, Jamie.
Thanks, Rob. The first 100 days, there are 70 projects that are already rolling over for the north of Tyne. Child poverty prevention, skills projects, helping disabled people access public transport. Things like the Swan Hunters site, iconic for our region, being cleared, negotiated to get offshore wind components built there. Starting to look at East Durham and brownfield sites there about how we're attracting industry in. The key thing, though, that's going to take the longest time is getting the transport fixed. So you've got to start that process from day one. I've sat down, I've done the sums, I've been through with the professionals. And in terms of impact, if you're one of the over 5,000 people who's got a job, you might not know that it's from the Combined Authority Investment, but that's changed your life. If you're one of the 35,000 people every year who's had a training course, you might think of it as your local college, but that funding and that design has come from devolution.
Jamie, thank you. Now, onto another question. There is that famous quote from Henry Kissinger, "Who do I call if I want to speak to Europe?" The new mayor of the Northeast will be the answer to that question for your region, and you'll be the public face of the Northeast trying to attract jobs and investment. One question we've had from Nick Simpson is, without resorting to the typical answer of the people, what are the selling points of the Northeast that you would use to promote the region to investors? What do we have that sets us apart from other regions? And here's another from Wayne Daly. What will the candidates do to promote the region nationally and globally as the best place to live, work and invest in? So my question is, how will you promote the Northeast around the globe? And we'll start with Kim.
Well, I think that this is the best region in the world. I've already said that. And I hear Nick not wanting to talk about the people, but you really can't not talk about the people. We have got amazing coast, country, cities, rural area, something to be really, really proud of. But it is that pride that sets us aside and will help us sell ourselves to the world, will help shape a narrative that we all need to come together to own so that we can get out to the world and talk about it. But I think the nut and bolt of it are about having really clear investable propositions. We need to be very clear about what it is that we're asking people in the Northeast to invest in. So, you know, we know that we want investment in green energy. We know we want investment in biosciences. We know we want investment in clean tech. We know we want investment in our foundational economy and our cultural and creative industries. And so making it very clear that when you pick up the phone to me as mayor, you know exactly what you're able to invest in, exactly what that'll get you, and you'll know that you're doing it in the best place in the world.
Kim, thank you. Aidan.
Thanks, Rob. So manufactured goods is, and exports of those manufactured goods is the thing that the Northeast has its strength in. As I build the Europe's largest onshore wind farm. We will then make ourselves the heart and the hub of green manufacturing in our country. Everybody in the country and Europe and the rest of the world will recognize our region as a leader in green manufacturing, green steel, green aluminium, green components for the manufactured goods of the future. And that is what we will be known as.
Aidan, thank you. Andrew Gray.
So we need to show that we can lead by example, that we can. Our region has been neglected for a long time. We have a lot of really crumbling infrastructure. We haven't had the investment in the region, and it's looked backwards. It's presented as if our glory days were in the past. We have to show by investing in green skills, by showing that we can actually tackle our housing problem. We have some of the worst social housing in the country in terms of energy efficiency. We can turn that around and show how we can go from the bottom of some of these league tables to the top of some of these league tables. And if we can turn around those really clear, measurable well-being indicators, people will realise how exciting it is to be up here. And it's not just about the past, but it's about the future too.
Andrew, thank you. Jamie Driscoll.
Cheers, Rob. The first big company that I brought to the Northeast was Verisure, and I met their directors in autumn 2019, before the pandemic. And I was saying, what are you looking for? And what they wanted was a stable workforce. And I said, well, are you going to look after these people? You know, tell me about your journey through the company. And they said, look, we started on the shop floor. We worked our way up as directors. And I knew that they were serious about looking after the people. That company's grown here to 639 jobs now. And they're director says he loves it because he's got a house with a garden that's 10 minutes away from work for a fraction of the price of his two-bedroom apartment in London. Newcastle is the best place to start a business in this country, and that's official as a result of working things out. And a lot of that comes down to the support that's been given from the Northeast Growth Hub. That's a mixture of our councils, the North of Tyne putting money in to make sure that businesses are successful. We get a growth company, we start to market that. That's when it really takes off.
Jamie, thank you. Guy, Bennett Thompson.
So the North East still has an image problem. When I was here at university in Newcastle, I was one of the only Northerners in my cohort. A lot of them came from London in the South East, and they could not believe how nice the North East was. They came up and they said, it's beautiful, the city's beautiful, the architecture, the coastline, because their parents had told them it was all flat caps and whippets and chimney stacks, right? So we need to get out there and put this image across the modern vibrant Northeast. A lot of what will bring industry to here is what brought industry here 200 years ago. We've got deep water ports with access to the sea lanes, with new offshore wind energy coming online. We have access to green, clean energy and lots of it, because per factory, you need land, you need cheap land, you need space, you need electricity. And we've got lots of those things. So that's the industrial side. In terms of the people, we need to relaunch the passionate people, passionate places that One Northeast used to have. And we need to be that ambassador that goes around the world saying, you know, look at our countryside, look at our cities, look at our quality of life. We are the best place in Europe to live, work, bring up a happy family.
Guy, thank you. Now, I've got time for one quickfire question about taxes. Well, relatively quickfire. We all know the cost of living crisis is still weighing heavily on millions of people in the Northeast, and the tax burden is part of that. So my final question, ideally we keep the answers to no more than 30 seconds. Can you tell me if you would impose any kind of extra tax as mayor, whether that's a mayoral precept to pay for big projects, as some other areas have done, or a tourist tax along the lines of Manchester? And we'll start with Aidan on that one.
So the mayor has the ability to put a precept on council tax and to tax industry. I will not put a single penny of extra tax on the Northeast people.
Short but sweet, thank you. Andrew Gray.
So there are certain taxes I do support, and would certainly support councils who are exploring things like workplace parking levies, or people are looking at tourist taxes. That's not a mail thing, but it's something that I'd support councils to do. In terms of flat rate precepts, that's not appropriate. It adds to a very unfair, unbalanced council tax scheme that's very regressive at the moment. So the last thing we want to do is to make it even more regressive by putting flat rate precepts on it.
Andrew, thank you. Jamie Driscoll.
In my 5 years as North of Tyne Mayor, I've not put a penny on the council tax, and there's no borrowing either. And that's absolutely guaranteed, the approach I will continue. What I have done is leave it in over £300 million of private investment. With this new deal, with the transport, we've already spoken to big pension funds and institutional investors to bring in billions. Because we know the money's not coming from central government. We know our councils are going to struggle. I'm certainly not going to be adding the council tax bills.
Jamie, thank you. And Guy?
Absolutely not. I'll not be adding any money onto council tax or business rate bills. But, you know, it's important to remember that the mayoralty does not exist in isolation. The mayor is the chairman of the local authorities. And the mechanisms of the mayor, yes, you have your own office, but you're really embedded in those local councils. So it's about taking money down from Westminster. It's not about drawing money back out of the North East. And it's about working with the partners, as the devolution deals already set out.
Thank you, Guy. And finally, Kim.
I have no plans whatsoever to add a precept or any tax to business. I'm open about the fact that I have looked at things like tourist levies, so money added to per night a stay in our region in order to reinvest in tourism, in culture, and in our creative industries to make it an even more attractive place to come and visit and to generate income for that. But at the moment, those powers don't exist holistically. And so that's something that we have to look at when we're negotiating for more powers to come to our region. But no, absolutely no tax for the people that live here.
Kim, thank you. So I didn't want this to be a sterile Q&A when the candidates just say their piece and aren't scrutinised for what they say. So we've got a few minutes now where our five mayoral hopefuls can challenge each other over what they've heard, or if they prefer, just make a closing statement to voters. As before, you have a minute and then the person can respond if they choose to. So we'll start with Andrew. Is there anything you wanted to raise from what you've heard so far?
I'll raise one general thing for Jamie. You talk quite a bit about your past record. You can comment on that. I'm sure Lynch, if we had Lynch to comment on it. But one of the things you talk about is essentially it sounds as if you're going to be very much continuing the passion you've got at the moment, transferring your staff, transferring your office, just working on a wider geography. What gives you the confidence that what works for North of Tyne is going to work for an area with Rearside and County Durham and everywhere south of the river, because different places need different solutions?
They absolutely do need different solutions, and that's exactly what's happened so far. It's not the case that I sit there, decide to Google something and come up with a bright idea. What we do, every one of our projects is co-designed with the partners, whether that's small businesses, whether that's the Citizens Advice who are doing the projects for us in Northumberland, whether that's our voluntary and community sector, running our employability programs, helping people, for example, with autism, get the training to get the skills to get the jobs. And that approach works. That's why we've got a 60% increase in value for money. That same approach will work. It will be a different organization, probably, and it will be a different location. But talking to people on the ground who are the experts, that's how you get the results.
Jamie, thank you. Guy, Renner Thompson, did you want to raise something that you've heard from so far today?
No, I think that any one of us here who's elected would make a good mayor, because all of us here have the passion for the Northeast. You know, mayoral politics isn't the same as party politics. You know, and it's not just me saying that. We've had surveys that say when people vote, they don't necessarily think about the party, they think about the person, and they think about the quality of place. What does worry me is those same surveys show that of all the devolution deals throughout the UK, ours is the least well known. And the business community of Newcastle and the wider business community think this is the most important thing that's happened to the region for 100 years. But if I walked out into a shopping centre here and asked people on the street, do they know that devolution is happening? The answer would be no. So we really need to have this big push in the next month or so to make people aware that this is happening and get them excited.
Okay, thank you. And Jamie, you've responded to a question already, but it's your chance if you want to challenge something else that you might have heard.
Thanks, Rob. Well, I'll just make a closing statement. I mean, if we think about this, as if the listeners were on the interview panel and they've all been one side or other of the desk on those interviews, what questions would you be asking? And we're heading into a very uncertain world. We know the public finances are going to be struggling. We know councils are going bust. We know big companies go bust. We know that governments have crashed the economy. What we need is someone who's going to look after the finances, who's got a track record, and is willing to stand on their track record. And that's me.
Jamie, thank you. Kim, is there anything you'd like to raise or a closing statement you'd like to make?
I have a challenge for everybody, but then do I also get to make a closing statement? I'm being cheeky, you know.
That is having your cake and eating it. I think you can do one or the other.
All right, okay. Well, I'm going to make the point that I do think that, you know, this is the best region in the world, and it's our job to make it even better. And this is the best opportunity that we've had in a generation. And I think we're heading for a general election later in the year. We're going to hopefully, I hope, get a Labour government, a change of government, which I think everybody's desperate for. And I think a Labour mayor holding that government to account, and working with them to deliver for everybody, will get the best outcome that our region can hope for to really change things for the future. But a challenge to everybody. Somebody asked you a question about childcare and child poverty. This issue specifically affects women. I am the only woman standing in this election, and I think that's a crying shame. And women are held back, predominantly women, from the labour market because of inaccessible childcare. It's too expensive because they have to stay at home and look after children or take on the social caring roles. And none of you directly answered that question. None of you were talking about what you'll do to improve prospects for women. And so I'm going to level that challenge at everybody, because I think it's far too important to ignore when there's a million women and girls in this region.
Okay, well, we're going to give Aidan King, so I haven't had a chance to make his statement. So perhaps, Aidan, you could make your statement, but if you want to address what Kim has just said, and then we'll see if anyone else wants to come back on Kim's final point.
Okay, thanks, Rob. I'll make my closing statement. So I agree with Guy. Anybody in this room been doing hustings for a long time, and everybody seems very professional, and I'm sure anybody who's elected would do a decent job. But it's not about, in my opinion, doing a decent job. This is a huge opportunity for transformative change in our region, and I will grasp it with both hands and draw it towards us. The winds of change are blowing, and I will bring that wind to our northeast. I've just jogged down from the RVI after finishing work, and jogged down a sandwich on the way, so you can be sure that I've got wind.
What a way to close. Thank you, Aidan. And does anyone want to come back on Kim's point? We'll start with Andrew.
I mean, Kim makes a very, very fair challenge. There's a certain age and colour similarity around this table as well. I think if we are obsessed with the idea of the mayor as the single strong CEO of the region, one person called it a single figurehead for the region, that's the wrong approach to a mayor. Because if the mayor is going to be successful, he's going to be, or she's going to be, less noticed and more impactful within communities. So I think my model of leadership is not to put all the power into central mayors. We've got to have a mayor because that's what the devolution deal comes with. So we've got to have someone there. But the key is deflecting attention away from themselves back into the communities of the northeast, because it's the northeast that's going to make the northeast prosperous, not the mayor.
And Guy?
Childcare costs are a huge issue, which is why it's really important that people know about the government's new scheme on childcare for the 33 hours. We do have problems, though, with recruiting nursery staff to make that policy work. So I think that would be one of the jobs as the mayor to run that recruitment, basically, to get more people into that sector so that we have the nursery provision that we need in the northeast.
And finally, Jamie, on the childcare point.
Yeah, childcare is a huge problem. And predominantly women, but not just women. I mean, I rode back from my career and looked after the kids while my wife was developing her career as a medic. If we look at what's happened over the past 5 years, we've increased training courses that women have attended from 10,000 a year to 19,000 a year. And we did it by making them free and flexible so that they work around people's caring commitments. They work around part-time hours commitments. We did that by talking to people, listening to what was affecting them. And a lot of these courses are actually in caring professions.
Thank you, Jamie. Well, that is all we've got time for. I hope if you've listened to the last hour and you're in the Northeast, you are now a bit better informed about the choice facing you on May the 2nd. I just make this final plea. Please do vote if you're eligible to do so, as the choice you make really does make a difference. So thanks so much to all of our candidates and to the Newcastle Chronicle and Journal for hosting today's hustings. And we'll see you next time on the Northern Agenda podcast. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Northern Agenda podcast. And don't forget, you can subscribe to our daily newsletter at thenorthernagenda.co.uk. It's more important than ever for Northern voices to be heard. The Northern Agenda is a laudable production for Reach. It's presented by me, Rob Parsons, and it's produced by Daniel J. McCoughlin. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to The Northern Agenda wherever you listen to your podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. See you next week.